God bless the givers. Am I on? Is it working? We're good? Amen. Okay. Okay. I'm going to try it one more time. I'm going to say God is good and his mercy endures forever. Amen. Amen. Got my Bible. Got my Bible out here. And I'd like to give a testimony first. Last week, my dog could not be found upstairs. So, went looking for her. She had stayed because she couldn't get up the stairs. She stayed in my mom's room downstairs. So I'm calling her, and my mom comes out and says, "Oh, she spent the night in my room." Okay, my mom's not a dog person. And I called my dog and just sat at the top of the steps going, couldn't get up. So, you know, my mom was telling me that, you know, dog looked like she was retaining water, and then I looked up what retaining water means. It's not a good thing, because my dog has diabetes, which I pray for my dog every day. My dog just kind of like didn't go completely blind, but suddenly, you know, like really, it was like 3 months ago, she just like started running into the table. And you know, and I'm not, you know, give me people or give me dogs, I'll take people. Okay? I love people sometimes. I mean, I love my dog. He never talks back to me. He thinks I'm right all the time. No matter what, he acts like I've been gone forever every time she sees me when I come home. I mean, I love my dog, but, you know, I don't worship dogs. I love people because God's in people anyway. But you know, I have compassion. Does the righteous have compassion on the animals? You know, so I've been learning compassion. So anyway, I went and got my dog, brought her to the vet, and it cost me a lot of money. I don't like spending money on my dog. I'd rather spend it on my sons and my wife. But anyway, just good news all the way around. Everything was just good. I actually noticed that my dog is, I come to the door and my dog sees me and goes towards me. So actually her eyes are getting better, which is not supposed to happen. When you have diabetes, you start losing your sight, you don't gain your sight. My dog's gaining her sight. So I just want to say, you know, everybody that saw my Facebook post and prayed, and it really got me. And I didn't do this on purpose, but I got to thinking about it later. When I wrote it, I mean, people love me a lot more than they ever did because I had compassion on my dog. I'm telling you. I mean, I have a nephew that disowned me because I said something about the his sister's dog. But, you know, I said something that wasn't compassionate. I don't even remember what it was, but you know, people make too much of stuff sometimes. But this post really helped me out. So thank God for that part of Facebook that helped me out, because I need all the help I can get. All right. I want to say a couple of things today. I want the Holy Spirit to say through me something I feel is very, very important. I think it's, well, when I read the scriptures, you'll get it. But New covenant is better than the old covenant.
ate with sinners. Kept himself pure. We all know we're supposed to keep ourselves pure. You know it? We talked to them last week, read the scripture. Vessels of honor and dishonor in every big house. Cleanse yourself, you can be a vessel of honor. Scripture talks about that, Old and New Testaments. When I say the Old Covenant is not as good as the New Covenant, I'm not saying that the Old Covenant is sufficient. The law that God gave, people have mixed up things. The law of the Lord is perfect. And listen, it's the answer. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. It's the answer to what Steve and Thurman have been preaching about. The soul. I've been preaching about. The law of the Lord is perfect. Restoring soul. Soul. It's not about not doing. The emphasis should be on what you're doing. Not in works that you're doing out of your own strength, but in the love that's been planted in your heart. Poured out upon you, poured inside of you, the love of God that poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And it's only by the Holy Spirit that we can live lives of righteousness and do works of righteousness that we were created to do. We were created, and He created the works for us to do so that His Father would be glorified. That's Christianity. But the Pharisees, know the power of God, you don't know. The Pharisees, you think you know everything because you got the resurrection part right. But you also think that if you study the scriptures and you keep yourself from this, and this, and then you add another 400 and some laws to it, that's going to get you an in with God. And I'm telling you, it does not get you an in with God. It makes the God you're serving miserably happy, being the God of this world, because your traditions have made the word and the power of God not effective in you and in the people that you're holding in bondage by your words. You guys here, I think it was Thurman that said this, probably been a couple months ago. He's the one that said this. There's only one commanded fast in the scripture. requires something other than sacrifice. He loves something more than sacrifice. He said, matter of fact, all the sacrifices you give, I already got the oil. I already got the animals. I already got the blood. I got it all. It's already poured out. It's done. We're still doing it. Done. I require something else. I'm asking for something else. In fact, Isaiah 58, very plain. This is the fast that I choose. Am I choosing that? You don't eat and you beat your slaves. You don't eat, you don't treat your wife right. You don't eat and you bring up all this past stuff and you beat things. Because, you know, when you don't eat, you get irritated. Come on. It's true. It's true. Isaiah 58 says, no, this is a sacrifice. The fast that I that. What is it? Eternal life, to know God and His Son Jesus Christ, whom He sent. To know God. So, we shouldn't have this conundrum in the church. What does it mean to know God? Ask me, what does it mean to know God? Give me a 5 cents. What does it mean to know God? I'm going to tell you what it means to know God. I'm going to show you what it means to know God. You can go out of here today and you can begin knowing God more by going to the scripture. I'll show you. Because I'm telling you, Papa, tired. God gets tired. Weary. Put them in the convents. Then, here's a big one. Get this one out. I know. I'm not making a judgment against the Catholic Church. But listen, they're screwed up. They're screwed up just like us. Some ways worse, some ways I'm not sure. Some things they do really good. They serve the poor. America or the Middle East, and you serve the poor like the Catholics serve the poor, and you preach the true gospel, the world gets saved. I'm telling you. But telling you, I can't. I was going to tell you, I can't remember the name. The Holy Spirit just told me who it was. Thank you, Wes Eben. He was a teacher. Cowboy. Or cowboy boots. Walking around. Microphone. Teaching in the Bible school. Hamilton, Montana. But I do, he says. God, I know. I want to do your will. But I'm not doing your will in everything. So there's got to be an unwillingness in me. Otherwise, I'd be doing your will. So this is my prayer. I'm willing to be made willing. You know how many times I prayed that prayer? That prayer has saved my life. That prayer has saved my marriage. That prayer has saved my relationship. That prayer has saved my life. I'm willing to do your will. If I'm not willing, because I speak to you. Whatever you want. Then you got hit by a truck. I love my brother, Steve. Okay? I love him. He's got more integrity than I ever dreamed to have. Those are my other brother's hot. I love him. When he got hit by that truck, then he got religious. Spent all his time in the Bible, and then he thought he knew everything. You remember that, Steve? Not going to go back to work. I'm just going to go save the world. Spent all my time in his presence. Yeah, he's a monk somewhere. That's how that works out for you. God sets a solitary into monkdom. Oh, no, God sets a solitary into families. You know why? Because it's a test. The whole thing is a test. Even to those poor people. Jesus did. Can you imagine being Peter, fisherman, wanting to be a disciple his whole life, everything in a Jewish life. They want to be a disciple. They want a master. They want somebody to teach them. They want somebody to lead them, but nobody wanted them. Fisherman. Money, any status. Jesus of Nazareth. He talked about Nazareth last week. Jesus of Nazareth comes up. Come and follow me. What do they do? Oh, let me think about that and get that with you tomorrow. No, they threw down their nets and they went and followed him. Why? Because the desire of their heart was to be a disciple. Do the will of God. But who were these people? Who they had as leaders? Pharisees. Some of them were good, apparently. Because one of the Pharisees came. They came to Jesus and said, hey, we know you're from God. Nobody can do stuff like this. God. Hold 15,000 sermons in. Think about that. Living. Fisherman. Whatever you are back then. Nobody wants to stop with you. Maybe you're a tax collector. Because, hey, money, yeah. You got a lot of money. I can take your money. There's nothing to buy. Yeah. All kinds of disciples. Think if you're one of them. Man, the guy that calls you, you don't have a place to live, man. You don't even have a church to go to. He goes into the synagogue. And who's in the synagogue? The Pharisees who have been berating you all your life. Telling you that you're nothing. Telling you that if your parents are going to give you something, it's Corbin. It's got to be holy. You've got to give it to Jesus. You've got to give it to God. Jesus. Their church people do that now. Do you hear what I'm saying? We don't want to walk under the law. We're under grace. We're under mercy. Mercy and grace are two different things. Jesus is full of grace and truth. In Jesus is all wisdom and all treasure. At God's right hand, where Jesus is, are pleasures evermore. I'm called to be discouraged. I'm in this stream. I'm in this, like a park. So there's trees, there's houses over here, different stuff. I remember going out to the park when I was a boy, different kinds of parks. You know, it wasn't just like go to a baseball field and you're going to play baseball and there's nothing there and there's a fence. And you hit a home run, you hit a home run. No, we had these parks that didn't have fences a lot of times. Play baseball. When you hit it, sometimes it went farther than the fence would ever have been, but you still get back to run, and they still try to get you home, get you out. Understand what I'm saying? You're playing this neighborhood game. I'm watching this thing. In my dream, I'm in the middle of this. This guy hits the ball, and he goes way out there. I'm watching a guy running around. And all these people, this guy way out there gets the ball. This guy's going to be safe no matter what. He's still going at it. Still going at it. He gets the ball and he throws the ball. That ball's going. There's a house right over here. There's a tree right here. Going at the branches of the tree. He makes the ball come over a little bit over here and it lands right here. Guy, it's the best throw I've ever seen. He was sneaking for the ball every other. That was amazing. I just walked over. On his face, he's encouraged. He said, man, you just made my day. Tell you that you listen. the meaning of this. What? Everything's about sacrifice. Everything's about the Lord. The Pharisees, the religious people, they were all concerned about sacrifice. They were concerned about the law. Jesus, the disciples, Jesus was teaching them to be concerned about the law. He said, if you'd only have known the meaning of this, I desire mercy. People show mercy, mercy will be shown to you. Man, obedience is better than sacrifice. A tenderness to God, the voice of God. Be faithful to me and know me. Here's a verse that I put over my sons. I told you guys this before. Stuff over my kids, I nullify it. I gotta watch over my grandchild. I'm gonna nullify stuff over him too. I listen to that stuff to tell me how my grandchildren are gonna be, and my great grandchildren are gonna be, or how I'm not gonna be, or I'm gonna be this and I'm gonna be that. I listen to that stuff. I'm gonna listen to the Holy Spirit by the grace of God and by you guys, one another, helping each other, provoking one another, word alive in me, provoke one another for love and good works. You need to point out my sin. My Lord, I did that enough already. I got brought back to rebuking me for doing it. Don't tell me the obvious. Tell me a secret from the secret place. What are you talking about? Okay, I'm going to go back to this. I'll tell you a story. David wrote this. It's in the Psalm somewhere. He's looking around, and he's seeing the wicked prosper. Seeing they're doing good. They got a good wife. They got more than one wife. See, they got stuff. They got money there, food. They got riches. They got land. They got everything. Everything's going good for them. And look at me. Chased around by a king, I'm supposed to be king. Chased around for 13 years, living in a cave. It's like I'm looking up and I see the wicked prospering. Amen. Unrighteous and the unrighteousness in me cannot stand in his presence. And it's coming. And I'm telling you, Jesus, God, the Lord, the kingdom is coming to the earth. It's in us. It's going to be released from us. And you can release it now. Some manner, in some form. You know how? By doing good and overcoming evil. You want to overcome evil? Do good. Do good. The light of God is shining out of you. He's sitting in the presence of God. He's old and old. I understand now. I got a secret from the secret place. Now I understand. They can't stay. The wicked will not remain. Woo! I want to be meek. I want to be gentle because gentleness is going to make me great. When other people are condemning these homeless people, condemning these people that aren't doing what we think they ought to be doing. What they ought to be doing. We don't know. We don't know their story. We don't know what they've gone through. We don't know that they've been abused when they were children. We don't know if they've been beaten. We don't know if they're sick. We don't know anything about them. We just know that we get to judge them. They ought to be having a job. They need a job, man. They need to be working. They don't get what I got. They need to work for it. Give anything to him? Kidding me? How about gentleness making you great? How about going to put your arm around him and love it on him? Be wise about it so they don't stab you. People do that, you know? Go find somebody to help. Find somebody to lay down your life to with. For. Not because of sacrifice. Not because you're coming to help from God. Mercy. Here's what I did. over certain people. You know who he has spiritual influence with? Huh? You know that those people are naming the name of Christ and they're living in immorality? Then you gotta speak to them. Why? Because you're for the glory of God. It's for repentance, for redemption, not for condemnation. Jesus said, look, 99, you're okay. I'm going out for the one. Oh, wait a minute. You go out for the one. It wouldn't bother you if you were the one. Because the one's crying out. Here, let me tell you this. This is what I see. Oh, my God. This is what I believe. This is what I believe. I believe this with all my heart. Those 99 weren't mature yet. Otherwise, they would have went with them. I want to go with Jesus and save people. Why should the 99 stay when the one is going to save the other one? Why can't two or three or four or five? You understand what I'm saying? Joshua's going, wait a minute. I'm going to stand right here with you. I'm going to stand right here. I'm going to stand right here. This is the tent. This is where the presence of God is. This is where life is. This is where the glory is. I'm staying with you. I'm going to go outside the camp. I'm going to bear his shame. You know what bearing his shame is in this world? Having righteousness in your heart and going out. Get your scripture. I'll show you. I'll get your scripture. You ready? Jeremiah chapter. This is the life verse. This is what I was going to tell you before. The life verse I taught my son. He has shown you, O man. O mortal man, he has shown you what is good. You have no excuse. There's no question. No doubt. Don't let there be a misunderstanding. This is what the Lord requires of you. Act justly. Love mercy. And walk humbly with your God. How much clearer can I be? He didn't say a bunch of other stuff. That's what he said. Religious people want to add stuff. know? Y'all want to know God? Their idea. quick to speak, opinionated, quick to judge. Why? Pride. Religious spirit and the political spirit are all about declaring that they're right, that they're God. The religious spirit and the political spirit is all about declaring that they are right. They're acting as God. They draw attention to themselves.